Hey, this is Ali Ciardo in the Photo Field Notes podcast, and this month has been a month to think about giving back. Last year, I talked to Derek Cookson about giving back. This time, I'm talking with Katie Norris from Photolanthropy about giving back. So for me, this month, I'm doing my regular volunteering. I'm organizing my Tuesdays Together group to do a volunteer project this week as a part of the Rising Tide Society. And I just think it's a really good time to think about what you can do to give back to your own community in big ways or small ways. And I think Katie has just an incredibly inspiring story about going really big, and then you can kind of take what you will from that and use what you will to give back in your own way. So enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
Hi, everybody. This is Ali Ciardo, and today I'm talking with Katie Norris, who is a photographer who started a company called Photolanthropy and then yet another company called Photostrap. So she's going to tell us a little bit about her backstory as a photographer, what inspired her. I guess I should say, not to say company, it's really a nonprofit with Photolanthropy. Am I right about that, Katie?
You're right.
Okay, good. So why don't we just jump right into your story? Start way back at the beginning in just how you became a photographer in the first place, and then let's get into how you kind of turned course and got into the nonprofit world.
Oh, sure. Well, thank you, Ali. I'm so excited to be here and just share this adventurous story. And, I've always been the girl with a photographer, and I'm sure many of the people listening were always the kid with a photographer, had pictures plastered all over my walls. And I went to college with hopes to major in photography, but I was a little concerned at that time. It was in early 2000 that it was going to be too difficult to start a business. It was at that fine line before the industry broke. And I actually got my degree in interior design, of all things, which taught me so much discipline and business, which I'm so thankful for that time. I met a guy named Reese, and we got married, and he is a go-getter and has a very entrepreneurial spirit. And I say this story lightly because I probably don't encourage everybody to do this, but we were on our honeymoon, both, you know, working at jobs we fought hard to get, and decided that we were living a life that we knew we didn't want to continue on with in our careers. So instead of coming home and talking about palm trees and the beach, we went home and told our families that we're going to quit our jobs and start afresh. That was a really hilarious season now that I think about it. So I knew I wanted to go in the creative realm, and he had other plans. And I went home, quit my job. And the first surprise and challenge that happened was it was 2008, which means the economy busted literally the day after I came home from my secure job. So, you know, my beginning started with a, oh my gosh, what am I going to have to do? And you know what, though, I look back at that time, and as scary as that was, as scary for anybody in the creative industry, I got to work. I knew I had to do whatever I could to contribute to our family. And that's when I got to bring back the love of photography. I knew that I would be able to build a business, or at least I hoped I would. And the first challenge was I needed the money to buy a camera. And I wanted to go straight to getting my first Mark II. And we had a huge garage sale. I had family members that just contributed, and I was able to buy that first lens. I mean, that first base. I didn't have the money to buy a lens for a while. But I love sharing that because I think so many of us have done that. You know, photographers, the family, the community, we all had a dream, and we would do anything to make it happen. And I was so excited just to go capture families and be a part of their lives, you know, during weddings and having babies and just getting to be a part of that. I just felt like it was such a privilege. So I was fired. I was young. I was ready to go do whatever it took. And I opened that business in 2008 and worked very hard for 3 years and was able to build a very successful business Thanks so much too. I think that I started that business in an area that I grew up in. So I had a lot of family and friends in that network, which I think helped me get farther faster. I was so happy doing what I wanted. I was there. And then all of a sudden, I think so many of us know this feeling. I was getting just completely burnt out. You know, my husband was working his standard job. And so we never had a day off together. When I was shooting weddings, that was his quote, day off. And I felt like we never had that time of just being able to chill out together. And this stirring just started happening. And I'm someone that just listens to that. And I started to communicate that to Reese. And just the wise man that he is, he just encouraged me to start exploring that. And, you know, his first wisdom bit of advice was, why don't you just look at giving back? You know, maybe you could join a nonprofit and you could just go serve and not think about the profit, the exposure, the what product are we going to sell? You know, all those things that can interrupt our passion of photography. And I think it's something that we all need to think about. How am I protecting my passion? Because like getting to do your passion as your career is so amazing, but it can be terrifying. What if I don't like this passion anymore? What if it gets sucked out of me? And so all those ideas were happening. And he left me home and I'll never forget where I was sitting. I said, I'm going to just spend the day and scour the internet and find that nonprofit. And for anyone out there Googling nonprofits to be a part of, there's so many amazing ones to be a part of. And I really think if you know kind of what makes your heart skip a beat, you can find one that is going to speak to you and you can get excited about. In that process for me, I was getting so fired up, but I was seeing that there was a hole. And I was not feeling that inspired after I was reviewing the content. And I thought if I were going through a hard time, I'd really want to celebrate the inspiration. And I really want just positive stories because so many of them were so amazing, but I was crying or I couldn't even look at the photos. And then I thought, none of these are incorporating film. What if we brought, you know, these stories to life with photography and film? It all came together in that day. Photolanthropy, the word even came together that day. My husband comes home and, you know, I remember he was sipping a coffee and he said, so what did you decide? And I said, I think I'm going to start my own. And he could have just in that moment said, Katie, you know, you're dreaming a little too big here. And that could have been it. But instead he looked at me and he goes, that is awesome. And he sat down, he said, tell me everything. And I'm so thankful for his response because I look back 7 years later in this journey that we've been on across the country making films. And it might have not happened if he didn't respond that way and trusted me in my work ethic that I would go for it and that we could do this. But honestly, I was nervous. I was in my young 20s. I thought, who am I? I'm a photographer out of Dallas. Who am I to start a nonprofit organization? And I believe some of those lies that you have to have this much experience. You need to be in your 30s. Everyone says that for some reason. And I think 20-year-olds are great because we have so much energy.
I told myself the same thing because I started my first company when I was 24. And that was the message that I thought. I think that's changing now with different organizations. But I think then it was like, you can't do this. That was the message. And actually, my husband went to the chair of his department in college, and they said, what are you going to do when you leave here with your master's degree? And he said, I'm going to start my own company. And he said, you can't start your own company. You'll fail. Like, that was the encouragement. And now I just think there's so much more going on. So anyway, and before we get into the next part of the story, go back just a little bit. So when your husband and you were on your honeymoon and you both decided that you were going to start, so did he at the same time start a completely separate company?
Yes. So my husband actually was working at one of the most renowned corporate law firms in our city. So he had worked hard for that position and it was a great job. And he actually went in all things in infusion software. So it's very a niche business. We both come from very entrepreneurial families. So I think that helped us not have so much fear going into it. But yes, so we were newly married and both started completely new businesses from startup. So we've basically been in startup mode for the past decade.
Wow. Okay. So that part alone just fascinates me because I'm definitely like more risk adverse. Like if I'm going to start, I'm always going to start the next thing, but still keep the other thing going, make sure that that like risk is mitigated. So did you have an emergency fund or did you have a backup plan or did you just tell yourselves like, hey, if all else fails, I'll go get another job?
Sure. So how we did that in this process was very calculated, so much thought, so much prayer over this decision. We knew that he was going to go into a position with a salary. So that did give us that peace of mind. Also, another calculated thing that we did is that we love to flip homes on the side. And so we had purchased a home that we knew we were going to flip and at any time we'd be able to sell that. And then we flipped 7 properties together. And wow. So in the midst of all of this craziness, we've done that in the background and that's helped sustain us.
Yeah. Okay. So you're a great person to speak to diversifying your income and mitigating risk through having different income streams. So if one thing was still ramping up, you still had the other thing going. And he did move into a different position where he knew he was going to be making money, which allowed you then, and here we come back to where we are in the story, it allowed you then to explore more into this new space. So what Yes. did that look like? Once you decided and you had his full support that you were going to go out and start a nonprofit and you, I'm assuming, didn't know anything about running a nonprofit at the time. What did that look like? What happened from there?
Yes, and absolutely. And also too, what was so nice is I committed to making and bringing home a certain amount of finances every month for my portrait business. So I was still committed in doing that and making sure I had a very small amount that I can contribute to the family. So that was always a priority. And I'm thankful for that we had that, that chance for him to let me take a chance on me. But yes, so going into photolanthropy, I just really knew that this was my calling. And I'll tell you why. I was so excited about this idea and kind of put it under the rug, thinking it was too big for me. And one morning, I just could not get this idea out of my head. I said, I have got to either start this or let this go. And not 30 minutes later, I get a phone call and it's a mom just weeping. I could barely understand her. And she just said, "Hi, my name is Kara. I just found out my 8-month-old son has a brain tumor. And I wanted to see if you could take pictures of him." And she said, "No, you don't know me, but someone said you could help me." And now, hindsight, I wasn't a mom at the time. I could barely even breathe, try and even speak those words. And I just sat there and I remember just a tear streamed down my eye and I just kind of looked up and I said, got it. Mission clear. This is my calling. This is what I was made to do. And I was able to just tell her right there, "Kara, I'd be honored. I want to donate a portrait session to you, a short film, and we're going to document James's life." And we went in and we just served her and we just went into the pediatric unit. Intensive care, it was the most difficult thing that I've ever done. I'm watching his life slip away and these parents holding on to every moment. And again, as a mom now, I can't even breathe thinking about what that must have been like for her. But we were able to have the strength to just go in like so many photographers do and just have compassion and make sure we were getting those images. And 3 weeks later, I was at James's funeral, and the last picture of him smiling, I was able to capture. And, you know, it was so hard sitting in that funeral, but I knew we really made an impact for this family and we served them and they have these of him forever. And that in that moment, all those things combined, I just knew this was the direction for them and using these great tools of our cameras to go impact lives. And that's how it really all got started for me. And it was just a calling and then knowing that this family needed help. So it was pretty cool. In one day, we came up with a logo, a website, a YouTube channel, everything, because we knew he wasn't doing well and we wanted to get it done for her. So, you know, we got after it, put our skills together, and just did it. We just got started. And that was only the beginning.
That story gives me the chills. And also because I have a similar story in that when I realized, when I was running two different companies, and the experience that made me realize that photography was the place I wanted to be spending the majority of my time, it was because of a bride whose father had cancer, and they moved their wedding date. And, you know, we captured those images and it was emotional in the moment. And then he did pass away before their original wedding date. And it was even more emotional then. And to be a part of those experiences, it's so hard, but it's so touching. And it is rewarding because you do see the impact where, you know, I've done many things in my career that were like, out from an outside perspective, very successful, but nothing touched me the way that those moments have. And, oh gosh, it just like, yeah, it gives me goosebumps and chills and makes me so, so upsetting, but also so inspiring. So going back to just one quick second on all of what it was. And I also love that you kind of just like, you just did it. You had that inspiration and it happened and you got the logo together and you got everything together instead of what so many of us will do, which is sit there and say, I'd love to do this, or I wish somebody would do this, but not actually doing it. Go back for me for just a second and talk to me a little bit about how the film, because that's such a big part of what you wanted to do and what was different about Photolanthropy. How did you get into doing films? And then tell me a little bit about the films that you, like the film you did for this family, and then how that's evolved since then.
Sure. And you know, one of my best quotes is you just have to get started. And I am a complete perfectionist and can overthink, but we didn't have a choice in this decision. You know, we had to get something up for this family, which was so great because we can be hindered by all of those pressures. And we just knew we could perfect over time. I wish this was a more sexy story, but it's pretty funny how I found my first filmmaker and kind of my go-to guy who's made our feature films, and he's an incredible filmmaker. But I was on a party bus at a wedding for Andy Dalton. If you have any football fans out there, he's the new redhead QB for the Bengals. Great guy. And I'm on a loud party bus. We all know that what that feels like. And the filmmaker was there. And I think it's funny, in the wedding industry, sometimes filmmakers and photographers are competitive. They're both trying to get the shots. And I've always loved filmmakers. So it said, hey, you know, just got to know this guy. And I could tell that he had a great heart. And I just said, I just started a nonprofit organization. Would you ever be interested in helping out? And he's just one of those guys that said, absolutely. And he said, though, I've always felt a strong calling from a young age that I was supposed to make big films. And it was just kind of like the stars aligned that day, and we knew we were supposed to be placed together. We've made a great team. But I did, you know, because I was in the industry, had a lot of filmmaker friends, just reached out to them and went to them for their expertise. I myself never filmed. I hired and found the talent to be able to come in and work together as a team. And that's how I found my first one that we've done a lot of work together.
And tell me a little bit now about how it runs. So is Photolanthropy, are you getting funding to then bring in these professional filmmakers? Is everybody volunteering their time? What does that look like?
Sure. And the organization has evolved over time. And so in the beginning, it was 2011, the economy was still recovering, and I never wanted the excuse of we just can't afford to serve this family ever to be on the table. And so what I decided to do was to create a product that could sustain our movement. And so that's where we went to the drawing board, and we felt a camera strap would be the perfect fit. There was also at that time, you know, 7 years ago, everyone was still wearing their Nikon Canon promotional strap. And we wanted to create something beautiful and timeless, genuine leather. And we created a brand called the Photo Strap. And with every purchase, we would give 10% to Photolanthropy. And this really helps sustain just our organizational cost. And it still does today. Now, since we've been able to receive our 501c3, we rely completely on donations, sponsors, and partners. And that's how we're able to achieve our feature films, We've utilized Kickstarter before. But, you know, as far as our volunteers, we have a lot of volunteer photographers and filmmakers. But now that we've broken into the feature film industry, which I'm excited to talk to you about, we are raising the amount of funds it takes to pay these filmmakers because we're asking them to take a year and a half out of their lives to produce a feature film. And so that's been something that's been evolving. But we know if we can pay these filmmakers, we can produce the most excellent product and hopefully have the most significant impact.
Yeah. So what are you focusing on then for the feature films versus when you started, you know, these, I'm assuming, quite short films that you were doing for individuals?
Yes. So in the beginning, we were doing two things. We were donating a portrait session and a short film for a family, also giving them an album where they really had this beautiful package. 2012, I met a guy named Travis Mills. Here's a quadruple amputee from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. We went to serve him, do a portrait session and a short film, interviewing this guy that gave everything for our freedom. And I thought, I've got to give my best to this guy. And what does that look like? So we're on an airplane with John, the guy that I met on a bus. I guess we kind of have a thing for, you know, our biggest ideas during being
transportation.
Now that I think about it. But he said, let's make a full feature documentary. And he was a filmmaker that had that skill level. And I said, let's do it. So that led us, long story short, our goal was to get a standing ovation for Travis Mills. We had that first premiere. We raised the funds on Kickstarter. And people in the theaters were bawling their eyes out, grown men and women. And Travis Mills got his first standing ovation. And then we knew the next day the phones were ringing off the hooks. And we spent the next year traveling with that film, shared it at the U.S. Capitol. A lot of celebrities hosted premieres, things that if you would have told me that day that I took that phone call, we would have been having red carpet premieres. I would have never guessed, but because we said yes, it took us on this path. And so right now we're working on a project called 7 Yards. And you might have seen some footage of this story. So the young man named Chris Norton, who was injured in a football accident, was told that he would never walk again. And he first came on kind of the internet when he defied all odds and walked across the graduation stage. If you're listening right now, just Google Chris Norton graduation walk and you'll cry your eyes out. I called him up, told him I'm a filmmaker, and we kept in touch. And he called me 2 years ago and said my next goal is to walk my bride down the aisle. And that's when we knew it was our next project. So we are in production for that. We've been filming all over the country for the past year. We'll release in 2019. We're still raising funds and then working with different partnerships that we have to see where will have a home, whether that's Netflix, Amazon, or iTunes.
Wow.
So we're really excited.
There's obviously so much more in terms of, you know, how you got the funding and then the Kickstarter and then the promotion, the connections and everything. And I know that we can't get into every single thing, but just with that first one, was Kickstarter the main place that you started? Or were you like out there finding and connecting and networking your butt off, or both?
Sure. All the above. I have never hustled. I if there was a new word for hustle, I wish I could create it because we hustled. And we started with Kickstarter, which was such a great tool because not only were we raising funds, but we were building a community and a fan base across the country. And they knew because of them, they were going to get this movie made about an American hero. So I'm so thankful we did that. And then also because we had a red carpet premiere, we were able to secure sponsors and partners and sell VIP tickets. So between those two streams and also everyone on that film donated their time. So all those funds went directly to the gear and things like that. We were able to pull it off and move mountains with this tiny, tiny budget. So, yeah.
And I'm sure once you've done it and you start to make those connections to even host a red carpet premiere and all of these things, then the next one gets a little easier as you can call up the people you've talked to before.
Oh, yeah. We joke we could make them in our sleep. And you know, and that's where I'm so excited 7 Yards is where it is today because we're starting to think about that red carpet premiere. And we want people to walk away from the theater, not just saying, oh, that was a good movie, but walk away with a fired up feeling, renewed hope, and really make it a once in a lifetime experience. And that's what we try to create with that experience for the red carpet premiere.
Yeah. And I'd love to be able to see it on Netflix at some point. That would be amazing. So, okay, let's now just shift gears a little bit into, let's say that someone's listening to this, they're inspired, they're probably overwhelmed because they're like, holy cow, Katie, you did so much and so many things at once. And probably they were like, also, you didn't have kids yet and it's a lot harder. And you've even said that you cut back and you do less with your photography business now because you're so focused on Photostrap and Photolanthropy. Totally fair. But if somebody is saying to themselves, this is amazing, but there's no way I can do all of that, but I'm inspired to do something, where do you think they should start?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought this up because I don't want to paint too pretty of a picture here. I want anyone listening to know that this decade of entrepreneurship has been the most stretching, the most humbling experience of my life. I've been stretched in every way, so thin, not knowing if we could pay bills, completely in tears, feeling like a failure. We have worked our tails off, but we've learned to overcome so much, and we're still learning how to do everything right. And sometimes I'll listen to podcasts and know, you know, all my photographer friends are just have these great six-figure businesses, and maybe I could have just done that, but I would have missed Travis Mills, Chris Norton. And so everyone just has to know their path. And so for anyone just with that little hint of just wanting to be inspired and do something, I'd really encourage you just to journal and just reflect on, why did I get in photography? What do I love most about photography? See what consistencies there are. There might be a subject, families, architectural, environmental, and find out what that passion is. And the most important thing about giving back is realistically look at your time. There's nothing worse than saying yes to giving back and then making, you know, feeling like it's a complete burden or like, oh crap, I need to go do that. I don't have time. And so it's really important to take an honest look at your time. I struggled with infertility for a very long time. And so for 7 years, I didn't have kids. So I want all the moms out there to know that. And I've had to make a lot of adjustments since Rose has been here, and we have one on the way. And I'm still making, oh, thank you. And so, you know, so I know that I'm in a season that I'm having to be very careful about what I'm saying yes to. But once you get to look at that, then, you know, go online, start researching. If there's nonprofits, they make it so easy for you to come do a session. But even if you don't want to get in that, maybe there's, you can offer a free portrait session to someone that you know is hurting, or you heard someone, husband has cancer. Maybe you could just reach out and say, I'd love to bless you guys with a family portrait session, and just start there and see how it goes. You know, just doing something, I think even if you do one thing a year, could refuel you and feel, you know, fill your soul where you're not going to feel that burnout. And I think as photographers, the best gift that we can give to our customers and clients is being a fired up, passionate photographer. And so I would just start there and give yourself that gift of being able to serve.
That's good. And for listeners, if you want to get a little bit more inspiration beyond that, my conversation last year with Derek Cookson, we talked about some specific ideas, things that he does, things that I do. I volunteer with an organization in Michigan where we take photographs every year of foster children so that they have really beautiful photographs of each of them. He does just an amazing amount of things, Make-A-Wish Foundation. Sometimes I just do passion projects where I'd make a point. I call it passion projects, but all it is Katie, exactly what you're talking about. It's taking on projects that touch my heart and doing them for free. Or sometimes I'll just give, like, if it's something, like I had a couple who was looking to adopt, and I said, you know what, I really feel passionate about that. I'm going to give you, I think I gave them like 50% off their session to do like a session with the two of them and then include some photos that they could use specifically for adoption. So whatever it is that touches your heart, yeah, I think it's just like, do it once. You don't even have to commit. And you're so right. Don't say yes to things because you think you have to and then get there to do it and have your heart not be in it. You want to do things that your heart is in and that are truly giving back in every single way. So this is awesome. If people are curious to hear more about your films, your organization, your photo straps, where can they find you?
Sure. So the easiest way to find me is just on Instagram. And my username is Katie Norris Photo, F-O-T-O. And you can also check out my website, katienorris.net, which will get you to all the films and photo straps. So that's kind of our hub.
Okay. And then also be sure, everybody, to go to photofieldnotes.com if you want to just click on the link so you don't have to remember them. So everything will be there in the show notes over at photofieldnotes.com. Katie, thank you. Amazing story. So inspiring. You gave me chills. I just can't thank you enough for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.